Welcome to Ask the Pastor. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor. And the question today is, what do you mean when you say God breathed? God breathed. Well, that phrase is used in more than one place, but what I deal with when I preach the message on God breathed, I start out using 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, that word, when he said is given by inspiration of God, in the English, inspiration of God, is the term, the Greek word theopneustos, God breathed. God breathed. But he also breathed on many things. And as we think about it, there are other things, but the characteristics of what God breathed on is living and lasting. For instance, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and a man became a living soul. So he breathed into man's nostril, him part of himself, breathe life into that man, and he's living. When man dies, it's just a physical separation of the physical body from the soul and spirit that lives inside. He's going to live somewhere forever, either heaven or hell, depending on what he's done with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just what he's done, but what God's done in him, because salvation is a work of God. But the soul is the seat of emotion, and God breathed in that form of clay into Adam, and he breathed into him, and he became living, and it'll be lasting. It'll never die. In other words, all the saved will live in heaven, all the lost will be separated from God in hell forever. But they'll still have their senses, if you please, in hell. They'll still have their senses in hell. So he breathed on the man as far as man himself. Another time when the word is used, here it says in the book of John, chapter number 20, this is after Jesus resurrected the first Sunday night. The disciples were inside a room, and Jesus appeared within the room, and he said to them in verse 21, and I just not long ago have dealt on this, what these verses mean, but then he said, Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In other words, he breathed on the New Testament church. The nucleus was there, at least 10 of them. Thomas missed out that night. He wasn't there. He missed out on something, at least they missed out on seeing Jesus at that time. Some people say they received the Holy Spirit here that day. No. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, with the disciples asked, when's the promise of his coming going to be? And so it had not yet happened. When he said, he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit, he said, get ready, the Holy Ghost is going to come. But he did breathe on his church. And the church is a living organism, not an organization. It's local, it's visible, it was started by Christ when he in his earthly ministry. And in Matthew 16, 18, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that was, of course, not upon Peter. Even Peter, the word means Petros, or a piece of the rock, but Jesus is the rock. So the church is built upon Jesus, and the proof text is that the church started in his earthly ministry, 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and that was when he set forth some in his church, first apostles. So when he called his apostles, he sent them forth. There's where the church had an organism begin to live. It was a living organism. And here in John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on the church. And listen, the church is lasting. Bible said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Verse 19 says of Matthew 16, I'll give unto thee, not Peter, but the church, the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you loose, I'll loose. In other words, God put us here to transact business between heaven and earth while he's gone. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, and realize something, and first 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about the Lord coming back. When he comes back again, he uses the word, when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice the word we. The church, the saints of God, in other words, who make up the church, will still be in existence when he comes again. So the Lord breathed into man. He also breathed on his church and to give them assurance that the Holy Ghost is coming to empower you. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were empowered when the Holy Ghost come to live inside all the saints of God. Didn't happen in John 20, but he did breathe on them and said, futuristic verb, he's get ready, he's coming. Third thing I want to think about breathing, God breathed on, was the Word of God, which I already used 2 Timothy 3:16. In the beginning, theopneustos, the inspiration of God. And he said he breathed all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. Now those books is in the middle of some people's Bibles, they're called the Apocrypha. They're lost books or something. They've got some historical value, but they're not God's canon of Scripture that he preserved for us. We've got 66 books in this Bible, and it's God breathed. The Bible said he given by inspiration of God. So from the very inner being of God, he breathed the Scripture down to human instruments who wrote it down, who penned it down. They could not make a mistake. Why? 2 Peter 1:21 says that there is that he moved on holy men of old. In other words, and there were holy men. He moved on them. That means he mothered them. It means he had a hold of their hand when they were writing the Scripture that they could not get the wrong word, even to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T's, we'd call it in English, to the jot and tittle in Hebrew, to iota. Every iota would be right in the Greek. So he breathed that word, in other words. And these new versions today that's out, they wasn't breathed. They've been messed with. They've been added to. They may have some good things that, like a commentary, but it's, listen, I'm going to stick with the King James Bible. God breathed. Somebody said, oh, but you've got to be careful. You don't have the original Scripture. I want to tell you what, you've got the originator, the Holy Ghost of God who lives in you. He wrote it down. He knows exactly what it says. And the Bible said in John 16:13, when he's come, he'll guide you into all truth, and he'll give you that truth. You may have to learn it. There may be some things you, because of our old tradition, because you listen to some preachers and what they say, and you follow them because you had confidence in them, but then God's Holy Spirit's going to say something just not right. It's just not like it ought to be. But the Word of God is living. And I, by the way, I know this book is a written book. I understand that. And it's alive when the Holy Spirit gets up on it and makes it sharp. But until he makes it sharp, it's going to be just ink on paper. Words are not going to mean anything to you. It's a dead book to you until the Holy Ghost makes the word sharp. But he does that. But the living word is the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the living Word. Whenever a person says that, we sing some songs sometime, and people look to the written Word and say, I'm standing on the promises of the written Word. Well, has God quickened it to you? I want to tell you, he's the living Word. Salvation's of him. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the Word of God is living, and it's lasting. It's lasting. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 18 says, for verily I say unto you, to heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. In other words, it's lasting. Luke chapter 21, verse 33 said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It's settled in heaven, in other words. You can take a knife and cut it up. You can put it in the fire and burn it up. But I won't tell you it's in heaven. It's forever settled. Because God breathed the Word of God to those men from his very inner being. And the only way you can ever understand them is for God to reveal them to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about that. I have not seen so forth, but he's got to reveal it to us. And so therefore, we need to understand God breathed his Word. Thank God for his Word that he breathed it, and men wrote it down, and there's no mistake. Even though it's written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 human instruments, it still does not contradict. If you've got a contradiction, the contradiction in your interpretation of it, it's not in God. I'll tell you, God help us to rightly divide. Thank God for the breathed Word. Then I'll tell you something else God breathed on was Israel. Bible says in the book of Ezekiel 37, you can read it if you want to, first 14 verses, and God went to Ezekiel and said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? He carried him out to a valley full of dead bones, applied to the Israel in essence. That was like a dead bones. And he began to preach to them, prophesy to them, and he did. They stood up an exceeding great army, but they still were missing the breath of God. And he prophesied to the wind, blow on them, breathe on them, that they may be a standing up. God put his spirit in them, in other words. And they were alive but dead as a nation when sin, but when God breathes on them again, they'll live again. And on May 14th, 1948, is the nation they come forth, and that parallels to the spirit of man. Spirit of man is dead, placed in Adam, but he placed in Adam a live spirit, but he died when he sinned. And every man is born in the image of Adam with a dead spirit. But yet, the real, as far as him breathing, when God breathes on man, he's living. He's living. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. 1 John 5:12 said, he that hath the Son hath life. So when God breathes on you, and that's what you need, and he breathed on Israel, and they'll live again, and then he is like he wants it to be. I don't understand all about it, but listen, not only is it living, it's lasting. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I realize something. He breathed on us. It's lasting. It's lasting. And he said, you're born, John 3:5 said, except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. And in other words, that means the water there is not baptism. It's the Word of God. It represents the Word of God that you need to be cleansed thereby. The Word's alive and it's lasting. So is the spirit of man that's been quickened and made alive in Christ. And you, in other words, you're born of the Word and the Spirit, you are eternally alive. So when we ask the question today, think about that. What do you mean when you say God breathed? I mean God breathed breath into man and he became a living soul and he'll live forever somewhere. He breathed on his church, and the church gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He breathed on his word, and we have the Holy Ghost living inside who guide us on that. And man could not make a mistake in writing it down. He breathed on Israel, as far as in Ezekiel 37, and put the breath in them, and they'll live again. And they are alive as a nation today. And then he breathes on the spirit of man, and he becomes living, and he'll last, he'll live forever. Thank God for what God breathed on. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.